This morning, an important message from the Word of God. If you're visiting or if you're part of the body here, and I want to speak on God's peace. Because there is so much distress and anxiety, disturbance, pressure that goes on, disharmony and strife, and peace, the gift of God's peace, is calmness. Calmness, tranquility, and a sense of well-being. That this is the peace that the world is looking for but can never find, because it is only found in one person. One of the names of Jesus is that he is called the Prince of Peace. So in other words, he comes to bring peace. And we need, first and foremost, peace with God. That's the most important relationship and the most important thing to happen in any individual's lives, that we know and know that we know that we can have peace with God. All of us have sinned. That means missed God's standard of holiness. His perfectness. None of us have been perfect in thought, word, action. We've all rebelled against him and have all sinned. And so we need to know how to come back to peace with God through the removal of sin, because sin has to be removed before we can be reconciled or restored to peace with God. The good news is that when Jesus was born, I don't know if you remember the Christmas message, good news to all mankind, in other words, to all people, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. With the arrival of Jesus, it is the arrival of the possibility to have peace, tranquility, and well-being. And so Jesus comes and is the only person, the only way to find peace, heart peace, mind peace, relational peace with God. And he is called in one of the messages about him, the Prince of Peace. Now, a prince is a ruler, someone who brings a reign. In fact, when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of heaven or the dominion or the reign of God is here. With Jesus comes a kingdom. He comes bringing a reign, a rule, a government. And with the Prince of Peace, the one who brings government brings peace. Yes. So the Word of God tells us, the Bible tells us, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And I think this is really interesting, because we know, a lot of us here this morning, that Jesus himself is peace. He has become our peace. That Jesus on the cross took the punishment for all mankind's sin. Every human being ever born, or even not. All the world has fallen, and the world is in darkness, but Jesus came as the light of the world to remove sin once for all time and all people. And I think it's really interesting that Jesus comes and he says, I've come to bring a government. I've come to reign. Not just to be the God of love, but the God who rules. Isn't that interesting? And I have found in my own life, and as a pastor, a minister, that those who have the true government of God going on in their lives, in other words, the reign of Jesus in their lives, have an increased peace. But when he isn't Lord, or when he isn't ruling, and sin or our own independent self is, we lose peace. Peace goes out the window where Jesus isn't Lord. And that doesn't mean in theory, it means hearing what his governing word says, the word of God. So when his word, through the power and enabling of his spirit, is governing who we are, how we think, what we say, what our attitudes are, and what we do, then we will live in peace. But as soon as I separate Jesus from his word, then I've got some kind of wrong Jesus, because Jesus is inseparable from the word of God, because he is, one of his names is, he is the word of God. And so, peace with God comes through one person. He is the source of peace, and where he governs, there is peace. Isaiah 57, we just look at this scripture quickly. The gospel, the good news about Jesus is peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord. In other words, the good news of God's peace is to be for everyone. If you're here today, this is for you. This is your good news. God wants to be at peace with you, which is why he sent Jesus. And God says, I will heal you. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. In other words, sin and those who continue to sin live troubled. Hello? Anxious, stressed out, depressed. They can't find peace. They're cloudy. You know when you go into sea troubled waters, you can't see clearly when you're in sin. When you walk in the light, you can see clearly. When you walk in the light of God's word, you can see clearly. But when you walk in the dark and hidden things going on, trouble goes on and there is a lack of peace and the sea that goes on and turbulent. You ever been with a turbulent kind of stressed out person who's constantly not at rest? Aren't they difficult? Huh? Aren't they difficult to be around, because there is no peace? And isn't it opposite when you're with someone who's full of peace, because Jesus himself and his government is reigning? And wherever Jesus reigns, there is peace. And sometimes you might want to check out if you lose your peace. Is Jesus really Lord of my life currently? Because you can't have his peace without his government. Say to somebody next to you, that was a very important point. I can't have his peace without his government. Because Jesus has come to be king. That's why we need to know that we can't enjoy the benefits that Jesus brings, which is one of the benefits is peace. We can't enjoy them if we don't live in his ways and do life on his terms. It's good news, this. This is good news. So the next question then has to be, how do I make things right with God? What do I have to do to make things right with God? And this is really important. If sin has separated me from relationship with God, how can I put things right? Well, Romans 5 tells us, and it's wonderful. Just the one verse. I tell you, I could spend weeks on this and give thanks to God for it, because it's all packed in here. Therefore, this is how to be right with God. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What wonderful, wonderful truth that sets us free. Every single person, God wants you to know that if you have believed in your heart that Jesus died for you on the cross for your sins, and you believe he rose again from the dead, not somebody else, you believe he's alive, he rose again from the dead, and you confess him Lord, our Lord, not our friend, not our buddy, our Lord, our ruler, you have peace with God. Because Jesus himself comes. He removes sin and he comes in to become your peace with God. Because Jesus is at peace with God, therefore he becomes your peace with God. Christ in you. And this speaks of just by faith. That's why it's not works. You're not trying to work to be at peace with God. It's a gift. You can't work to gain peace. You have to receive Jesus by faith, and then you are justified. This is another one of my favorite words, because it's easy to understand justified, because it means just as if I'd never sinned. Can I repeat that so you look happy? Just as if I'd never sinned. Woo! Come on! Justified by faith through my Lord. I've said to the Lord when I was 27, Lord, I believe you died for me. You rose again from the dead. But come and govern me. I confess you my Lord, not just my Savior. My Lord. This is so important, because there's no true peace with God without the Lordship of Jesus. If he's not reigning over your life, you will never have true peace. It's not rocket science, is it? But it's by faith. It is just as if I'd never sinned. Even the things that nobody else knows about and you never want to admit. The worst thing you've ever done, it's just as if you never did it. Come on, let's clap Jesus. Come on. Just as if. But that means there needs to be a personal response from every single person who's listening to this message this morning. Because it's not going to help you by just hearing it, but it's only going to help you and bring peace into your life by acting on what Jesus has done for you. And so we have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we make things right with God. But there is more than just having peace with God. Say there's more. It's already good, isn't it? Just as if I'd never sinned, I can stand like Jesus before the throne. I'm not guilty. I'm not ashamed. I don't have to hang my head. I'm confident, because it's just as if I'd never sinned because of Jesus. Wowzers! But there's more, which needs unpacking in all of our life and our experience. And that is the peace of God. And the Bible says the peace of God does something, and I like the language, surpasses all understanding. In other words, you can't understand why you're so full of peace in that situation. And so it's beyond my thinking. It's beyond reason that you should be at peace. Don't we need the world to say, this is beyond reason that you're going through this and yet you're so full of peace? Hello? Anybody want to live like a true Christian? Living in the peace that passes understanding. That's God's provision for every single one of us if Jesus is our Lord. And if he has come to live in our lives through faith. Now we're going to read Philippians 4. A lot of us know this off by heart. This tells us how to get the peace that passes understanding. And it says here, be anxious for niente, zero, zilch, nothing. What a comment from God. This is God speaking to us. Can you believe he's saying it? Just say to somebody else, can you believe God's telling me to be anxious for nothing? Does he not know what I'm going through? Yes, he knows. Yes, he knows, but his way is a way of peace. And his life is a life of peace that passes understanding. And so this says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. In all those issues that make you worried and concerned and stressed out and under pressure and just getting through this by the skin of my teeth. In everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is prayer, but it's the kind of prayer that more has to pour out your trouble in the presence of God because it's so deep. It's affected your heart so much. Aren't you glad that there's quick prayers, but there's also a place to, Jesus, I just, you know, pour out because he's listening and he's real and he wants to hear that prayer. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let your requests be made known to God and the peace of God. Now, isn't it great that it's not your peace? Have you ever tried to drum yourself up into, I just need to be at peace. Just got to really work hard at being at peace. And the more you work, the more stressed out you get. I've got to find peace. I just need peace of heart and mind. I just got to go to bed tonight and find peace. Must find peace. Because it's not from you. You're not responsible to bring the peace of God. Because God himself brings that peace. And I'll show you how in a minute, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Isn't it interesting that your heart, when you're anxious and concerned about something, it affects the two places. The Word of God knows exactly how he's made us. God knows how he's made us, heart and mind. Your heart gets affected. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain it, do I? And your head goes, oh, I can't stop. I'm just so, this is bothering me, bothering. You wake up in the night, bothering. This is going on and on and on. I'm so worried about this and I'm so worried about that. And when you do what God is asking us here in his word, the peace that comes from God is like a guard, or another word is a garrison, which is a small little army around your head and heart. So God himself stations himself around your head and heart. And so when an anxious thought starts to come, the guard goes, not coming in. You're not allowed in to their head and heart. Because they've done this. My peace is more powerful than the anxious thought that is coming against them. Because God is far more powerful than anxiety. Or anything the devil might speak into your head to create worry and concern. I don't believe you and I really understand the need for peace, the peace of God, that we must have personally. I want you to live healthy, blessed, and just have a sense of well-being about your whole life. And God's saying, he wants it much more than me, by the way, this is the route. The first one, get right with God. Have his government. Let him reign and rule over you. Be Lord over you. The second is to do this. And live with the person of peace, giving you his powerful peace, that you're not bothered anymore. what a joy to think that I don't need to be bothered. And you know, I go through times, more recently has been a very difficult season for me personally. Much cause to worry, huge issues and concerns. And yet I have found that if I stop it and give those things to the Lord, leave them there, the peace that passes, I shouldn't be peaceful, but I am. Isn't that the good news? The peace of God that surpasses understanding. And to be honest, I'm amazed at how good I feel. And it's still cracking off, but I feel great. Hello? Isn't that how we're supposed to live? Even if it cracks off all the way around, I've got the peace that passes understanding. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. And in my heart, got the peace that passes understanding. And I don't have to find peace because he's here. I don't have to ask, he's here. I just have to give him all my concerns and trust him. So the first thing, if we're to claim the promise and fulfill the conditions, the first thing is to refuse to be anxious, even if things could make you so. See, some people want all the troubles to go away before they find peace. Never will. Because there'll always be another. There'll be a grandchild to be concerned about, a child or a person that you love, or there'll be a job situation. You'll lose someone, you will lose your job, and you'll go, what do I do now? And God says, first of all, find peace, and then I'll show you the way. Because often we don't hear God when we're disturbed, do we? We only hear the problem. Round and round and round and round and round, round. And so if we come to peace, it's the place where you start to listen and hear the Lord because you're at peace. And so, refuse. You see, you have a will, an ability to decide. This morning, you may have chosen to be really focused on the meeting and on what God's got for you, or you may be distracted. You can choose. You can choose to sleep or stay awake. I know, because even if I'm tired, I can stay awake if I really want to. I have a will that affects what I do. And so I can choose and say, and I have made this choice, I'm not going to live anxious. How many of you ever said over your life, I'm a bit of a worrier? Not a worrier. Somebody who's, stop it. It's over. That time is over. Say, I'm refusing. And I'm not going to call myself a warrior. I'm going to call myself a man or woman of peace. Stop saying, oh, I'm so worried about. Say, I'm praying about. Not worried about. I'm giving it to him. So in everything, refuse to be anxious, even if things can make you so. Pray. Ah, what a gift prayer is. Joan said it. Big concerns, little concerns, everything. Trust him. If you don't give it to God, you've still got it in your hands. Do you realize how feeble you are in comparison to God? Do you realize how great Jesus is? Who made the universe, the stars? Do you not think it's better in his hands? So why don't you pray? Prayerlessness is actually pride because you're independent and you think you can handle life on your own. If you're a praying man, you're a humble, God-dependent man who will see miracles. If you're a praying woman, you will see the same. Prayer isn't just for the girls. We've got to raise up a generation of men who know how to pray. Who do not leave it to their wives or their grannies. But they stand before God and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I obtain mercy and find grace to help in my time of need. Praise the Lord for a praying church. Come on, win everything. Pray, pray, pray. It doesn't matter what's going on. You can give it to God. And he's a big help. He's a big, powerful help. You might feel alone. You're on your own. Nobody's standing with you. You know your Bible, God is. If God is for you, who can be against you? Stop mithering and start praying. Stop complaining and worrying and speaking about how concerned you are. I'm so concerned. It'll just get worse. And you won't get God on it. Pray and bring God into it. There's a guy, I read this a couple of days ago and I had to share it with Pastor Andrew. I was like, quick, it doesn't go like that anymore, does it? And I have to share this. I have to share this, and I want to share this prayer with you because it's one of my new finds in the Word of God, and it's from 2 Chronicles 14. And this king, Asa, this was in the good times because he actually, in old age, stopped praying. And he went downhill fast, and it wasn't good. He lost out. He lost loads of stuff because he stopped doing this. But this wasn't a good time in Asa's life. And there was this army of Ethiopians coming against the people of God. And Asa, they're kind of battle stations. There's a little army against this multitude of people. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God. Have you ever cried out? Or do you just do nice prayers? Have you known that Jesus, in the days of his humanity, in the days of his flesh, cried out with loud cries of tears? Oh, well, I'm English. Stop being English and be spiritual. Be a man or woman of God who stands before God crying out to the Lord his God. Lord, I can hear him bellowing. It's nothing for you to help. Whether it's with many, whether there's thousands in this room or just me, or with those who have no power. Help us. Just help. I love that. Help us. Oh Lord, our God, for we rest on you. I love that. Say we rest on you. In other words, we put all the load on you, all this situation on you. We completely rely on you. We're standing on who you are. And in your name, we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail over us. In other words, unless you show up, we ain't getting through. Oh, Jesus loves those prayers. When Bartimaeus prayed, help, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, cried out. He stopped. He turned around. What do you want me to do? I want to see. Okay. According to your faith, it'll be done. Why? Because he did this. Some of you have never cried out. You've just done nice. Englishness or European. Some of the Africans, they know how to pray. I do hope they're here with us. Because we need praying. We need prayer. Well, we need spiritual men and women. But people who know how to lay hold of God and see the power of God in this generation. That multitude was turned back. We're going to turn the tide in this generation. We will see the kingdom of heaven advance. If we will do this, this multitude of opposition against God and his purpose in our nation will turn around and the kingdom of heaven will advance. Because forceful people will lay hold of it. Not lazy, laid back Christians, but men and women who are passionate about the kingdom of heaven and say, I must see the hand of God. I must see the power of God in our time and generation. I don't want to hear her story. I love her story and I love her. But I want to see today. I want to see the glory of God dwell in our land. It doesn't come through lukewarm praying. It doesn't come through just saying the words. It comes through the passion and the cry of the heart. Lord, help us. We rest on you. And in your name we go against this. May the passion of God's kingdom, God's heart, burn in you. Not just me. Not just when I'm preaching. Be before the throne of God and pray. And never, ever, 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 ever give up. Cry out day and night. God says, do you not think I won't answer quickly? But will I find faith? Will I find the faith that says, I'm trusting you to come through? I'm not just praying, I'm trusting. I'm trusting, I'm believing. I don't just pray, I believe you're coming and you're going to change the whole landscape. Everything is going to change in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray like this. Passivity is probably one of the worst things that can get hold of our lives. Passive prayers, passive worshippers, passive, oh, I do church, I'm a Christian. The zeal of the Lord. Be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, the word of God tells us. Have a fire on the inside. And, you know, sometimes that fire doesn't happen until you start to pray and you keep praying and you break through the flesh barrier. And then you get into the flow of the Spirit. And then there's fire. And then there's revelation. And then there's the things of heaven become far more real in prayer than when you're stuck in your problem. You're up before the throne, far above all powers and principalities. And you are dictating what happens on earth. That's the kind of prayer that's going to change our world. The Holy Spirit is calling us up to not be concerned about the tide of sin. We are, naturally speaking, it's always been dark times in the history, biblical history. There's always been dark times. There's always been sin. You know, the sexual depravity that's going on in our nation today, it's only a repeat of what you read in the Old Testament. It's not a new thing. Sin and darkness and the powers that are coming in to try and steal the inheritance of the gospel in our nation, it's always been around, but it's always been turned around by this kind of praying. And we find it difficult to get people to the prayer meetings. We find it difficult to say, come and pray. Would you not just give 1 hour in the secret place? Will you not pray and keep on? And the only thing that's going to change is if we will lay hold of God and say, I must see God move in this day and in this generation. In everything, in all the sadness, the sorrow, the suffering, the heartache, there is so much pain. But I know one. His name is Jesus, and he can change everything. And we want to pray him into people's lives, pray him into circumstances, pray him in so that there is a transformation and change in somebody's life. May your kingdom come, Lord, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We were talking, I'm going to finish, and I know it's been a longer morning, it's okay. The Lord's happy. He's just told me he's happy. It's what he wants us to put something on the inside of you that's going to stir you up to get you praying. So that's okay. That's okay with me, because he's Lord. We were talking about many years ago, Pastor Andrew and I went to Burundi on mission, and it was just after the ethnic cleansing that happened between the Hutus and the Tutsis, the genocide. Many of you will know the history of that genocide or remember it. It was devastation in the country when we arrived. And somehow God had us there for a reason, and to add to what he was doing out there. And it was such a privilege for us. We met people there who have forever changed our lives. We thought, you know, you go and give, but actually we received so much more from the people that we met. And we were remembering how in one meeting I was preaching in a large congregation, a large church, and I was preaching on the Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we went back to a place we were staying in this house, and three women asked to see us. They came to the door, and they were beautiful. Burundians, they were just beautiful. And they were wearing their glorious clothes. I mean, look, they're bright, aren't they? And they were beautifully clothed. But what was more astounding was their face, three women. And they asked if we would pray for them. And I said, yeah, of course. They wanted the baptism of the Spirit. They wanted the fullness of the Spirit. And they realized they didn't know they'd been missing out on something that Jesus loves to give everyone. Is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so we said, before we pray, what's your story? And one of them said, well, in the genocide, which of course had only been a couple of years before, or not even that, in the genocide, I have a large kind of family that goes on, you know, cousins, second cousins, and aunts, uncles. Listen, if you can hear above the combine, I'm sure it's a combine. 99 members of my family were macheted to death. And that was about a year on. 99, all her children, all her close family, before her eyes were hacked to death. And we sat there going, in absolute shock at how they looked. Okay. 90, all your family removed in a day. Imagine. And this woman just said, I found Jesus. Found Jesus. And her face was so serene, peaceful, and joyful. It doesn't make no sense. It doesn't make any sense that somebody, where all of that has happened, that loss, can stand there and look so peaceful and so full of joy. That is beyond understanding. And we looked at these women and we said, looked at each other because we were working through a translator, and they come to us for prayer. I've seen many tongue-talking Christians look more stressed than someone who's never received the Spirit but just has Jesus. Woo! And I've never, ever forgotten that experience of peace and joy in spite of all that has happened in her life. We prayed for them, and of course the hungry are filled. If you want him, he'll fill you. If you don't want him, he won't. And they got that filled. It was like, we're seeing revival. And there was such a move of God going on. It doesn't mean that we understand everything that happens in life. Forget that. You never will. If you're trying to understand everything, then you're going to hit trouble. Because when trouble comes and things don't work out as you thought they would, you might start questioning, is God really good? Why did this happen? Why did he do this? And I want to tell you, the safest place you can be all the way through your life is believing the truth about Jesus Christ, that he is good and he only has good planned for us and for the earth. And that bad comes from the devil and from sinful man. But good comes from God. And only God is good. And so, there was such stuff going on out there that was heartbreaking. But we would wake at 5 in the morning and hear the prison full of men put in prison praying. We didn't know what it was on the first morning and said, what's that noise? It's like thunder. It rumbled. And all the men had got saved in the prison were praying at 5 in the morning for the nation. We've never heard anything like it. In everything, even when you don't understand, lift up your hands in his name and pray. I don't understand. You're in control. When I pray, I put you in control. When I worry, I'm in control. But I don't want to be in control. I don't want my head to be in control. I don't want my understanding to be worked out, because I can't work you out and I can't work this life out. But you know, Lord, and that's enough for me. And I pray, if I pray, you promise something, that all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So even though I don't understand this, I know that if I pray, you're working together for good for all things are working together for good. I believe that. I believe it when I don't see what I thought I would see. I still believe. And that is your safe place. That's where you will stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then the word says, give thanks. When you've prayed with thanksgiving, present your request with thanksgiving. In other words, stay positive. Give thanks. As soon as you start to thank God, it encourages your faith to continue to believe that he's listening and answering you. Thank you, Lord, you've heard me. Thank you that you're able to do far more than I could ask or imagine. Thank you that you are working everything together for good. Thank you. I just believe. Thank you. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And finally, choose what you think about. Whatever things are right, true, noble, just, good, praiseworthy. Think on these things. Yeah. Isn't it easy to do? You know when a car reverses up an alley? Isn't it easy to reverse your prayer and go back to start to think about the problem? And you come back and look. Oh, I'm really worried again. And then you pray again. And then your head gets you reversing. And you're back looking at the problem again. Oh, I'm worried again. And a lot of people do this. And they're always going forward and then reverse. And can you imagine watching a driver go up a road? Forward, back, forward, back. How silly that would look. But when we pray, we're to give thanks and then think. Whatever is true. What's true? The word of God. The promise of God is true. Get your head locked in to what God says. Hey, and every promise is yes in Christ. Think the word. Think about all the good things. Whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus, for the peace of God that passes understanding.